Yes, that train's... That was Olive Knight off her latest album, Heroes and Laments, Wilma Jari Stories. She's a gospel blues singer, one of the few. There's not a heap of them around, is there, Olive?
Not very many, not that I know of, yeah.
What do you put that down to?
I think it's... I suppose it's more or less... Which I'd love to see more female... You know, voice out there,
yes.
Regardless of what genre they've. Of course, blues would be my favorite. Like, I'd like to see more blues and female artists, and as well as, you know, not only doing your covers and contemporary stuff, but your own original kind of languages and adapt it to culture more than anything. I'd say, you know, if you can do it. So that's just the way I went anyway, and with my language and adapted a lot of it, yeah.
Now, you mentioned earlier on that you're a big environmentalist, and one of the tracks that you've got on there, it's a straight down the line blues, but it's very much talking about what's happening to the land today, and it's Canning Basin Blues. It's just talking about fracking. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, fracking is a major concern for us in the Kimberleys because there are big mining companies who are now kind of practically threatening the land. That's what we feel, because there's a group that's now operating, which is Fracking No Way, and this group is very, very environmentally aware, and we are practically protesting and against a lot of fracking up there. And they even went to the stream where some groups and families are practically camping and blocking gates and all that. And what we feel about fracking is one of the most devastating issues, I guess, because we now feel for the land. The Canning Basin actually holds our reservoir, our water reservoir there. And if they drill, they will use a lot of water, as well as, and the most dangerous thing about it is that what I've learned anyway, is that they'll pump in chemicals and poison into most of the water systems, more or less, you know. And if it goes into the huge water reservoir underneath, it'll practically damage our livelihood, you know. The waters could be poisoned. And also what we now, and also the environment, the pristine desert, we are careful about the deserts, because a lot of it will disappear. The people won't be able to visit their own lands, their water holes and the desert regions, you know, no more, because there'll be just devastation everywhere.
Can you tell us what's actually involved in fracking, what the companies actually do?
Well, as you can see, the main thrust is getting the gas out of there. I think it's mainly to do with shattering the shale. They call it the shale gas. I think that's what it is. And the drills, when it's going down, it's not just straight down, you know, drills that drill the oil and everything. But this is more devastating. It's dangerous because the drills will actually shatter the shale underneath and smash it, and any rock that's down there that's stable right now will practically, so that they can extract the gas out of there. So it's your top, you know, it's your companies who are and our government, I believe, and I mean, this is the danger part, who is now giving like the thrust to get more gas and other minerals, you know, out of Mother Earth. And
so it's a real threat to Mother Earth and the Kimberley region, from what you're saying.
Yes.
When did you actually write this song? How long ago was that?
I actually wrote it in one of the tours that I did to the desert, and through the desert, because the tour with Desert Feet. And it was during those lull moments, you know, when we're not busy, when because we did we do concerts every night, actually, and if during the day you rest, and then all of these lyrics come flooding in, and you're on the land, and the land is your inspiration, and tells you a story about, you know, and the fear, and the it's almost the mother, you know, kind of, look, here I am, you know, say something about me or sing something about me, you know. So that sort of feel when you're actually on there, when you're walking there or saying...
It's like a spiritual attachment.
That's right, it's your spiritual attachment, yeah.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to that track, Canning Basin Blues. This is Olive Knight off her latest album.
Baby, don't cry for mama, don't They are coming with their money and their greed. They are coming with their money and their greed. Crushing and grinding and forcing in. Crushing and grinding and forcing in. Fixing what's left off for me, baby. Fixing. Fixing what's left off for me. Left on for me, baby, fixin'. Fixin' what's left on for me, baby, fixin'. Fixin' what's left on for me, baby, fixin'. Fixin' what's left on for me, baby, fixin'. Your children's children will be there.
There's three tracks on the album, Olive, that are in your native tongue. What made you decide to put those three on the album?
Well, it's actually, as the album title says, Laments, Heroes and Laments, because it's partly a story of heroes as well as the sticklers, you know, and the people who practically tolerate and are living through badness and sadness. And the three of my own original tongue, Walmajeri, the three songs on there, actually speaks about heroes. One of them talks about the old people looking after the land, and we're walking on it, we're living on it, and we are looking after it. And it's a tribute to the old people and the people who are now existing where I come from, you know, who are now living there, who are still visit the land and look after it, you know. And then there's another one that talks about hunting on the land and getting our own food and all that, the men, women, children and all that. And then there's a very original kind of style, which I heard long time ago when I was a young woman. I heard this original, it was a contemporary style of singing by people from further south from where I came from, and it's called Jabu Jabu. That's the style of the singing, It's more or less kind of mixture of using English words as well as indigenous kind of words into it. And one of the instruments I used to listen to these people singing, that the instrument that they used was not even a kind of instrument. It was all a contemporary instrument. It was a tin matchbox which had grooves in it. If anyone can remember the matchbox that we used to get in, as in the Kimberleys, you know, the station people, the pastoralists used to give us these rations, and they'd give you a matchbox that was practically tin, and in there was a wax, were full of wax matches which had blue heads. So if any oldies can remember those in the past, but then the people kept the tin and used it as an instrument, you know, scratched it just like the washboard. So I'm practically using an African instrument there on the song. And but originally it was this little tin matchbox that they used, you know, and used it as an instrument to sing this particular style called Jabu Jabu.
Well, look, we'll take that track right now. This is Song of Lament, Jabu Jabu, and it's Olive Night.
Minya di balula ya na na nubo gala nuburu. Minya di balula ya na na nubo gala nuburu. Goodbye, manjala kandri, oh goodbye, manjala kandri, oh goodbye. Goodbye, manjala kandri, oh goodbye, manjala. O alingali bangurla gol bango, alingali bangurla gol bango. Goodbye, manjala kandriyo. Goodbye, manjala kandriyo. O alingali bangurla gol bango, alingali bangurla gol bango. Me badu mangula jagar mu bungu. Me badu mangula jagar mu bungu. Me badu. Kuyu badu jagar mangula mu bungu. Goodbye, manjala kandre, oh goodbye, manjala kandre, oh goodbye. Goodbye, manjala kandre, oh goodbye, manjala. Wale ngali bangurla kol mangu, wale ngali bangurla kol mangu.
Now, this might seem like a bit of a stupid question, Olive, but I've also heard that you're an elder in your community. How does one become an elder? Is it just an age thing, or is there a bit of initiation ceremony, or how does that all work?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with age thing, but a lot of it has to do with probably the lineage, you know, if there's been elders in a previous to you that had earned the eldership, then it's passed on to the next generation. You know, like, I'm also an elder in another area, a river area, because my grandfather was an elder there. It was in his traditional land, you know. And since my mothers have passed on now, and I'm the next person who's taken on the eldership of my clan, with the community that I'm in at the moment, I'm also an elder there, because of my traditional ties to the land, as well as being part of the old people there, you know, you take on that kind of title, you know.
Now, the other thing too I wanted to ask you was, apparently you've co-written a book.
Yes, I have co-written it with a person who works at the Curtin University there at the literary section. Actually the idea came about when someone did mention it once, my niece actually, and she lived in Kununurra there, and who was instrumental in getting me my music. Her name is Natasha Short, and she's actually really coaxed me into a lot of things. She's my young mentor also, along with Ivan, and with the music side, but this particular young lady was sort of coaxed me into a lot of things, writing books and finding funding and all this sort of thing to get me moving on. And so the book is called, to cut the story short, is called The Bohinia Tree. Now, why I titled that, because under this particular Bohinia tree, which is my native tree up there in the Kimberleys, native Bohinia, that's where I was born. So that's my birth tree, the Bohinia tree. And it's a story of my life from the beginning to practically with all the things that I've achieved and things that, you know, there's sadnesses and losses and successes and all this sort of thing. So it's more or less a biography, can I call it, and yeah.
So is it available now? Can people
buy
it?
Yeah, well, it will be available as of December.
Okay.
I think we will.
Just in time for Christmas.
Yes.
Now, one of the reasons you're in Melbourne, and probably the main reason, I guess, is that you're going to be appearing with Hugh Jackman in his Broadway show. Now, I think you've appeared with Hugh before. How did all that come about?
Well, I'm actually employed by the Wesley College here and mentoring students. But at the same time, Hugh had sort of come into fruition, more or less, and I learned about it and all this sort of thing, but kept it a secret for a while. Till I've, and it's now public that he's now been invited to perform with him again for the fourth time.
Fourth time, yeah.
That's right. So he's appearing here in Melbourne at the Rod Laver Arena, yeah.
Yep.
And that's where, and so if people want to come and watch and see if you have bought your tickets, I don't know whether the tickets are even existing at the moment because the man is so popular and all this, so.
I think somebody mentioned the other day that it's about the fifth show now.
Yes, it is, the fifth show,
so
yeah.
Tickets have been selling really well. What's your part in the show?
Well, I actually end the show with Hugh because he does most of it. It's so spectacular because this is what I dreamt of, you know, seeing, being actually in a musical, in a way he does a lot of musical
yes.
stuff like Singing in the Rain, Carousel and all that, and that's the first part of the section, and then this last part of the section is all to do with his involvement and his connection with the Indigenous people, and being out in the community at his young age and all that, and making the film Australia and all that, and then he brings the Indigenous people in, you know, Didj players and all that, and I'm one of the vocalists there. I do some sort of, I actually sing the last stanza sort of in Somewhere Over the Rainbow. In the indigenous, in my Wanmajeri language with him that I taught him to end the whole thing. And
yeah, now I believe one of his sons is in the show as well.
His son, oh, my son.
Yeah.
Yes, Clifton is one of the vocalists too, and he sings his own compositions that he sort of goes, does his section just before I come on stage myself. So my son and I are both vocalists there.
Yeah, so how did you actually get the call from Hugh to be part of his shows?
Mm. Well, it was quite a, well, what can I say? It's a miracle, more or less, and you know, why me, I thought, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's thousands of other people whom
well,
you have chosen.
I can think of a lot of good reasons, 10 good reasons, yeah. As a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, well, I think how it came about was listening to someone had practically talked about my first album and all this sort of thing, and at the same time I think well it's quite vague to me at the moment what he was after. I think one of the things that he was asking was there was an authentic singer who could both sing in English and in the language. So when Nomad Tuwel suggested me, well, I suppose then he said, well. That's the one.
That's the one. You're the one.
Yeah.
And the rest is history, as they say. All right, look, well, as I said, we're running out of time, so we might take one more track from the album. Now, earlier on, I did say there were three tracks that you sang in your native tongue. In actual fact, I didn't account for the last one, Jabu Jabu, but so there's actually four. But let's take this track, Korean Poor Country, which is based on old classic country blues, isn't it?
Yes, as a matter of fact, what it is, in a contemporary language called Creole, and the title is Crying Poor Country. The influence came from an old blues singer by the name of Big Bill Brunsey. So if you hear Big Bill Brunsey's influence there, well, if you're a fan of this gentleman, I just love him. I like the way he So does the strums his guitar and sings, you know. So, yeah.
Olive Knight, look, thanks for coming in and having a bit of a talk to us about the album and your life. It's been absolutely fantastic. And look, all the best with the Hugh Jackman show. I don't think you need that, but you'll kill him anyway. Let's have a listen to this track. And what's the name of it again?
Crying Bull Country.
All right, I've got to fade down on that because we are running out of time. That was Olive Knight there. As you heard, she's appearing in the Hugh Jackman Broadway show, which will be commencing, I think it's Tuesday night, so get down and check that out. And Olive Knight, check out her CD. It's available locally through Trailblazer Records. And